Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
Good to have you back, Stephen.
What a wonderful dum-de-dum. So this must be Dum-de-dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I am Royfield Brown, who, like Derek Fletcher, likes to trim Gene Harvey's hedge. And today I'm joined by...
rather manipulated mammy, that is Jacqueline Bertuin Sangwan. This week's dum-de-dum tune is from Stephen Bowden. Thank you very much, Stephen. And on this episode, we are lucky enough to hear from quite a few first-time caller-inners, which is fabulous. David Mullins, Sue from Sussex, and Charlotte, plus calls from the faithful friends Jen, Ambridge Pony Club, Benedict Hawkes, and Claire Asprey.
And if you stick around, and of course, why wouldn't you stick around all the way to the end, you're going to hear Tweet of the Week from Purple Pumpkin, and we have our social media roundup from R Witherspoon. And also, we'll be welcoming our new members to our Facebook group. And we have not one, but two reviews. One of them, disparaging, is disparaging. The other one, big thumbs up.
That's a surprise, Royfield, because I don't know ever. I never know about the reviews. I'm worried now. I'll discover them with our listeners. But first, let's look at the week in Ambridge from our Sue, the Queen or Tart.
Hello, lovely people. It's Sue here, Queen or Tart on the Twitters, with another week in Ambridge. Mothers know best, apparently, or at least grandmothers do. I found this week extremely hard going, and if I was Natasha, there would have been grand matricide. Tom seems to have spent much of this week, therefore, off in fright, much keener on staying out of the way of Caitlin and getting his tractor out, rather than having to listen to Welsh lullabies. I did wonder if they were encouraging guerrilla planting of leeks and daffodils. At least they could put the leeks in the veg boxes. Thank goodness Caitlin's gone over to Pat and Tony's, and Natasha can start to enjoy having her babies. Tom made all the right noises about her looking beautiful and managed a daddy special rock. Tony was a proper dad to Tom and showed him the way. Good on them. Way out of character. It's good we have Brian back. Bring back Jenny, darling. And he and Chris acted like adults for once. I can imagine them both looking a bit perturbed at all this bonhomie and mutual backslapping. Once St. Shula does the outdoor naming ceremony, perhaps they can all continue to behave like adults. Unlike Team Horobim. Chelsea is more like a five-year-old after she and Brad started working together in the orangery. I'm not sure why she still has a job after her levels of rudeness. Brad is the blue-eyed boy and human calculator just because he can add things up. If this is the standard of education in Borchester, I'd be very cross if I was a teacher to hear people being so impressed. Talking of teachers, well, defrocked teachers, Russell seems to have forgotten that he and Lily didn't pay the rent in Manchester for 5 months while he searched his soul and played his expensive kettle. Just the thought of him dancing to the 90s grooves. Ugh. He's going to get Lily to move to Felpersham and she's going back to university, away from her mum. What's going to happen next? And finally, arsonist can now be added to George's list of crimes. How long is it till he's in Felpersham Young Offenders Institute? Susan should be ashamed of herself stooping to blackmail. And she should go and apologise to Jean Harvey. And I don't say that lightly, for thinking the worst. Will she? Will she, Eckers like? And now George can blackmail her in perpetuity. This will not end well. We'll find out more next week. Maybe. We'll see. Till then.
That was a wonderful roundup, wasn't it, Jacqueline? So we've had Arsu, Queen of Tart, and her thoughts and feelings in the last week in Ambridge. But what say you?
Well, I have to say the ridiculous blackmail story was very irritating. Didn't it irritate you?
Well, here's the thing. I couldn't work out why Susan and Clary were so perturbed by the fact that Jean Harvey potentially, or so they thought, was going to, you know, try and nobble the pizza van. What does it matter to them?
Well, in fact, Susan's got this special relationship with Adam because Ian got into the gossip zone with Susan. And so she's kind of going back to that. It's her special relationship. So there we go. But it just seemed so ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. But you know what, though? I did say to myself, this is old school Archers because
there was
gossip, nonsense and villainy. You had the trifecta. You had the whole trifecta there. So I was like, well, I'm kind of up for it. But
yeah, and in fact, I enjoyed that much more than the kind of bitching between Brad and his sister, which came later in the week. But I much preferred the gossipy silliness of the postbox catching fire. Oh, my God. Well, than that horrible stuff.
I'm not sure it caught fire as... It was set fire too. Do you know what I mean? There's a subtle difference.
Well, there is a subtle. You're right. Thank you for correcting me, Royfield. That's very good.
What a villain he is. He's just utter wrong one. He's turning out to be. And you know what? I actually quite like it.
Me too. I'm so glad we've got a villain back. I mean, it seems horrible when we've had villains like Philip Moss and Rob, but to have a real villain who's just a mischievous little twat. Am I allowed to say that?
Well, you said it now. Well, he does have it within his bloodline because Clive Horobin was the ultimate ne'er-do-well, wasn't he? So
anyway. No, it's good.
Now, considering we have so many caller inners, I think we should have a
and
little
new
bit...
ones as well. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Now, I know we've got lots of new caller inners, but let's start with a stalwart. It's our Bernadette Hawks.
Bernadette Hawks here, Archers fan 2015. I liked Ambridge Pony Club's call in the last Dumpty Dump episode, where she talked a lot about horse therapy. It was very good and educational. Realistically, well, Shula is a fairly good listener, but a counsellor also needs to ask questions. Did she ask Alice any questions? But the questions aren't about nosiness, they're about thought-provoking for the client. I checked with my vicar friend, whose training, like mine, prior to going into vicaring, was a psychotherapist. And basically, vicars don't get a lot of training in counselling or counselling skills. So we'll see. Why are the SWs treating Tracy and Brad so badly? I get that this is probably social comment and public education, but the only way for the horror bins always seems to be down. Oliver's in a tricky position with Brad because he could just give him the money, but we know that wouldn't work probably very well, whereas George would have asked for it outright. We mustn't overlook the fact that the tweet along believed that Brad's being bullied by Chelsea and everyone else. Well, Chelsea's bullying everyone, it seems. I think we should explore sibling rivalry in depth. After all, the Archers is riddled with it.
Proper all over the Archie sibling rivalry. What else did our Bernadette comment on, which you'd like to, you know, flesh out in more detail, Jacqueline?
In fact, we had her talking about her vicar friend, because I said that last week I assumed vicars would be very much trained to talk and listen.
Yeah,
but apparently not.
I didn't think that they were. You know, I think to be...
You were right. You were right, Royfield.
Well, listen, I'm not putting bragging rights on that, but what vicars seem to be good at is reciting the Bible. They've got to go to, like, theology
Thank
school.
Goodness. And they've That's got what to, they're supposed to do.
Well, they've got to go... Well, there you go. That's primarily what they're there for. Whenever you've got a question, they can say, John chapter 2, verse 1 type of thing. Go back to Corinthians and read this. And the answers to most things are supposed to be in the Bible. But in terms of active care, I'm not surprised they don't have any training. You know, I think there's a big difference, as I said last week, between pastoral care. You're there to hold someone's hand, you know, and be there through a crisis, as opposed to you're offering advice. They're not there fundamentally to offer advice other than read this bit of the Bible. It will give you help and solace. But they're not,
well, obviously, I've had a very different experience because I've known several vicars over the many years I've lived on this earth, and they have been people who've been great at counselling. I really felt that counselling with people I knew was a major part of their...
Obviously, if that's your experience, that's your experience, but they're not trained to. I suppose if you're out there and you're in the community... And you are seeing people go through crises and sadness, etc., you can draw upon that wealth of experience to be able to help people through it. However, they're not trained specifically for that, is my point. You know, that's my point.
I agree with that point now, because I, in fact, last week when I made the comment I did, I felt that these people that I've met in my life must have had some training to be like that. But I think there are people who go into that line of work who are just have that kind of empathy and are able to counsel people without having training to do it. So there we go. Bernadette mentioned that, so...
And also, I think it was really good for Bernadette to talk about Ambridge Pony Club, who is also going to be on this week's episode talking about equine therapy and just how detailed and how informed she was. And it's really good that we kind of have that feedback loop, can't we?
Brilliant.
We have great caller inners who actually know what they're talking about. It's their area of expertise, and they can really weigh in on a specific storyline within the Archers, and then another caller in can give them a bit of a pat on the back. So Bernadette Hawkes, we salute you as always, but now we should maybe move on to a brand new caller in. We need a new caller in sound. Maybe I'll put that in the edit. Anyway, here it is. This is Charlotte.
Hello, Royfield and Jacqueline. It's Charlotte here. This is my first time calling in. I really enjoy the show and I'm a patron. I prompted to ring as I'm not sure why you're getting fewer calls at present. So three things. First, to say I really enjoyed the Susan Clary interactions this week. They're absolutely comedy gold, especially when they're matched with a slightly dour character like Adam or Helen. It's even funnier. And I was thinking how few of the actual Archer family, including the Aldridges, are funny. Probably only Kate now. Used to be Lizzie and Kenton. And the Bridge Farm Brookfield lot have always been gloomy. There are lots of other people who make me laugh, particularly Joy and Tracy. But they're not the Archers. Secondly, I live in Bath and we've had three Archers visitors over the last few weeks. Rob Titchener starred as the baddie in Murder on the Orient Express and Fallon was the German lady's maid. And then this week, Ian's been in The Tempest as Trinculo, the very drunk sailor. Maybe that's why the pizza toppings are getting so weird. And thirdly, I'm really delighted that Brad enjoys academic work, particularly maths. But I'm surprised that Freddie in particular sees excellent mental arithmetic as some sort of genius. It makes me worried for Freddie having the business sense to run Lower Loxley, particularly if Lily and Russ go off to Felkisham. And that makes me worry about Lily's intelligence. Doesn't she remember last time they rented a flat? She worked and paid all around the bills and Russ sat around creative and drinking expensive coffee. I know he's got a job now in the art gallery at Lower Loxley, courtesy of Elizabeth, but still, he's not exactly great at supporting her. And does it mean she still has to work full-time at the kitchen company while she's at uni? That won't really give her great experience. Anyway, thanks very much for the show. Bye.
Thank you for that, Charlotte. I just remembered, Jacqueline, just regarding to the meat and potatoes of Charlotte's school. Couldn't you say it's Patreon? We have some big Patreon news, just saying. But anyway, so Charlotte, there you go. Over to you. You fill the air with intelligent talk.
Oh, gracious. You put me on the spot there. But I completely agree with Charlotte. It was actually quite enjoyable, but also cringeworthy, the Susan and Clary stuff. It was kind of like, oh my God, why are they doing this? It was real comedy gold, as she said. I wasn't completely comfortable about it. Were you? Did you feel it was...
Well, I did feel it was somewhat forced and shoehorned, but you corrected me after the week in Ambridge by saying that Susan and Adam are besties.
So, Susan, Adam and Ian.
Yes. So there is a connection with Susan and the pizza van, but what a load of nonsense. But it was lovely nonsense. That's the thing. It was lovely nonsense.
It was good, good, fun holiday stuff. Yeah.
It was. Susan and Clary, when they're not filling up the yogurt pots, their tittle-tattle is great. And I will completely admit, I completely forgotten that George is both of their grandsons. I just forgot.
Yeah.
So when he's calling one nana and one grandma, I was like, oh, well, of course.
Yeah. But didn't he manipulate them?
Yeah. Well,
I feel like I...
But here's the thing, though.
It was perfect.
They both know that he's actually a wrong'un. They both do know. Right?
They do, absolutely.
They know that he's a little bit of a villain, but he is their teenage grandson, and they're just about prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt. But they both know in their heart of hearts he's no good.
He absolutely, but I do think that Clary was a bit more credulous than Susan. Susan was completely cynical about everything he said, whereas actually Clary was questioning, how come he knows how to pick locks? That's weird, isn't it? Yeah, and how many locks has he picked, I would be asking. but in fact, it was very good. And also in Charlotte's call, she talked about Freddie and his reaction to Brad being able to do mental arithmetic. Oh, God, I do feel sorry for Freddie.
Well,
how is he going to take that?
Here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Not only is it adding up, but percentages. I don't know if they automatically put the service charge on. Is it 12%, 12.5%? Is it 10%? Is it 15%? Right? And what I would say about mental arithmetic, it's one thing in the quiet of your home to go, all right, yeah, you know, 49 plus this, plus that, plus da, da, da. It's another thing if you've got people glaring at you who are maybe a little bit frustrated because your machine has gone up the fritz. And if you have to add things up and then you have to remember the price of things. Okay, you could have looked at the menu. You had to add things up and then put percentages and you have people staring at you. That is a certain level of pressure. It is.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, all kudos to coin a phrase to Brad, because in fact, I certainly couldn't do it. I've never been good at mental arithmetic ever. What can you say about it? He did very, very well. But Freddie was in awe of him, and Freddie is supposed to be going forward and managing parts of Lower Loxley.
Well, Freddie's strength isn't intellect per se, is it?
Academic.
Freddie's strength is more empathy, isn't it? He's a social animal. Hence, he's a DJ. Like, he gets people, knows how to relate to them, etc. You know, even down to him getting Chelsea, actually, to manage Brad. And actually, Freddie's skills in terms of man management is totally coming on. And actually, he can be firm, etc. So, Freddie has skills, mental arithmetic on the spot is not one of them. And no, I think Charlotte, right, we have calculators now. There are calculators. There is Excel spreadsheets. You can do all manner of clever pivot tables when it comes to figures.
On your phone.
Yes. And even, yeah, exactly. And even on our phone, when it comes to running a business. Now, as long as you fundamentally know you're going to buy X from this person, you can sell it for Y.
I was just going to say, but also Charlotte mentioned Lily, because Freddie thinks that Lily is very clever. But do we think Lily is clever? Do we need to talk about that after another call, maybe?
I think she is. Come on. She's not clever when it comes to her choices in men, though, is she?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because I was a bit concerned that you were going to say, oh, no, she's fine. She knows what she's doing. She doesn't.
Anyway, but Charlotte, don't think my little pushback about mental arithmetic means that you can't ring in again. And thank you for being a
Charlotte.
Patron.
It was brilliant. Yes. And fantastic.
Thank you for being a patron, Mrs. Now, the best and the easiest way for you to record a message or a plot prediction is to go to www.speakpipe.com/dumdydum. And don't forget the T in the middle. And you will also find a link in the show notes.
And don't forget that we need your calls in by 6 p.m. on Sunday UK time. Please keep your call to a maximum of 2 minutes and bear in mind you need to be at least 18 to take part.
Now, this ramshackle podcast is put together by you. So there's three things you can do to be a fundamental part of this whole podcast. If you haven't done so already, on whatever you are listening to Dumdy Dum on, hit the subscribe button. And if you wouldn't mind, also give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be hugely appreciated. Now, finally, the third thing you can do is consider becoming a Patreon. Patreon is a way of tipping creators like us, and there are different levels with different rewards. So if you could just go to patreon.com, which is patreon.com, search for dumdydum, we'd be chuffed to bits to have your support. Now, we are going to do, and this is news to you, Jacqueline Berto, we have at 11 a.m. on Thursday, and it's a funny time, everybody, I know it's a funny time. Most people will be at work. We have a recording with Charlotte Higgins, her of The Guardian fame, who does the monthly column about the Archers. So if you would like to listen along to that live on Zoom and maybe ask her a question, the link will be in the show notes. I'm going to put this open to everybody, but in future, these will only be for Patreons, for people that give us their hard-earned financial support. So there's a little bit of an inducement. We're going to put it in the show notes. We'll put it on our Facebook group. If you want to DM us on Twitter, we'll also give you the link. We're not expecting a massive crowd of people because it is at 11 o'clock on Thursday this week. But if you have a spare hour and you'd like to ask Charlotte a question, you can do so. We're going to record a dum-de-dum live on Zoom. Now, before we go back to our calls, don't forget, you can also send us an email right now. Emails. We've noticed that there's been a total drop-off in the amount of emails recently. And that is because there is a problem. And it's one of those niggling ones, which is intermittent with our contact us page on dumdydum.com. Thank you to everybody who tested it for us this week. Jesse is going to have a look at it next week coming. So in the interim, if you'd like to send us a text message, like to send us an email, please just send an email to roifield@gmail.com. roifield@gmail.com. Super simple. It will get to us. Or what you can do is send us a text via WhatsApp at +44 7957 167696. So send us a message on WhatsApp at +44 7957 167696 if you don't want to hear the sound of your voice on the podcast. Now back to caller inners, and we've done Charlotte. I think we have another new caller inner. This is Dave.
Hi, Royfield and Jacqueline. It's David from Hazel Grove here. Thank you for the Daves on Twitter. I'm a first-time caller. I just wanted to talk about the ongoing battle for survival of Tracy and her family. It's revealing some real parallels with what some of the lower-income families are experiencing or have experienced in the last couple of years and with our current economic climate in the UK. Being a worker in hospitality for my entire career, It's crazy when you recollect and reminisce over how a low-paid job can bring so much. You'd be fed at work and receive your meals and drinks, receive tips that greatly adjusted your weekly income for the better, and in Tracy's situation, you'd be working on your doorstep and keeping down the travel cost. The poverty and difficulty she's experiencing is heartbreaking. Choices made between sustenance and survival. Bringing children into it and relying on them to, not only for me, shows how great a family dynamic they have, but also the real class divide in Ambridge. From the vegetables previously that Tom brought to the shop that weren't required, to the cheese that wasn't packaged correctly, and Ian and Adam making pizzas for the Women's Institute. Rub your eyes or clean your glasses. While your businesses may thrive, your own neighbours and friends are struggling to survive. Think of those less fortunate. Isn't that what we all should do? Surely more in Ambridge than just Oliver can see this. Saying that, the quality of the writing for the Horribins plight, is that true to life? Tracy would probably say no due to her pride for any handouts or charity anyway. Please keep up the good work.
Thank you for that, Dave.
What a fantastic call.
Absolutely. The social conscience of dum-de-dum listeners, eh? And
yeah, there are many of our listeners that have that social conscience, and that really touched me, that call.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that the Archers most definitely is a snapshot of our class system. If we take George Grundy and put him to one side, you know, there are no out-and-out villains in this whole thing. But there are people who have different life expectations. There are people who have different life struggles, financial, emotional, etc. And we run the whole gamut of that, don't we? And we see Tracy struggling really hard. And in the last 2 months, she's in part explained her situation. She didn't try hard at school. And or she wasn't pushed. She didn't, because she didn't engage.
You can say she didn't connect. She didn't connect with school.
Yeah.
And which is actually repeated in her daughter, who Chelsea didn't connect. And that's actually part of the problem with our society. Mm.
And one thing which we do in Britain is we put too much store strictly by the academic path. Whereas, let's say in Germany, you can have the vocational path. So you don't have to just do a whole load of book learning, get your A-levels, then go to university. Mm. You know, there are other advanced economies where it's much less about the academic. And then one way, if you aren't academic, that you can validate your experience going through school is then to trash those people who actually are academically bright, which is exactly the dynamic you see between her and her brother, you know. And but
Brad.
Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Brad. And then, and even Tracy, remember Tracy went for that job interview and then came up against somebody who she'd gone to school with, who had actually put her head down and then was in a position potentially then to offer her a job. You know, it all goes back to education, but also our societal expectations that we place on people, children, shall we say, at the very start of their lives through school. And I think we put too much pressure on them, me personally.
I agree. Obviously, I don't have much recent experience of the British educational system, but the French educational system is very much under stress and strain, and children are expected to achieve certain levels. But we do have the thing here where if a child is struggling, they can be forced to redouble, is what it's called. Yeah, they redo a year. So sometimes when you hear of a child who's struggling at, say, post baccalaureate, so around about the age of 18 or 19, they're struggling in their chosen further education, which can be vocational, but they might be struggling anyway. And a question you often hear people say, well, have they doubled a year already? No. Well, then they can afford to double a year now. I find it shocking, really shocking, that children are put into these little categories and then and that's a basic question that many people ask. Have they done redoubled a year? Have they doubled up on a year? Have they repeated a year? Oh, horrible. You don't need to know that. They're struggling this year. Well, so But I think Chelsea is very typical of many children who haven't, or young people who haven't really connected. And I think there's a great contrast. We saw a big contrast this week between the relationship between Brad and George and Brad and Chelsea. Because George is bullying Brad and Chelsea is bullying Brad.
Absolutely. You know what? This has been a rather heavy kind of dissection of the Archers from us pair this week, hasn't it? Normally it's shits and giggles.
But in fact, it is a bit giggly as well. But we haven't talked about twins. We haven't talked about mothers-in-laws. Oh, we'll get there.
We will get there. We'll get there maybe after we hear from Sue from Sussex.
Hello, Royfield and Jacqueline. This is Sue from Sussex, and I am a first-time caller in a row. And I'm calling to say I feel really bad that I have never called before. And the truth is that I've been listening to Dumpty Dum for maybe about 7 years, and every week I think, yeah, next week I'm totally going to call in. It gets to the end of the week and completely forget. And next episode, listen to Dumpty Dum, think, yeah, this week, definitely going to call in. Gets to the end of the week, and yeah, I think you've got the picture. So I am a bit worried I might be kind of joining the party at about 5 to midnight, because I know that Royfield said he's only going to do 9 episodes. So I am really hoping that behind the scenes, there's a whole new crew of hosts being prepared to join Jacqueline and keep the, as it's called, Good Ship Dumpty Dum going. So I actually haven't listened to any of the Archers episodes this week. I am calling directly after I've heard the episode of Dumpty Dum. So all I'm going to say about the show is that I'm really enjoying the new generation coming through. They're saintly Brad and evil George, and Chelsea is always brilliant. Want Tracy to get away from the chicken factory, but I think she's going to be stuck there for a while. So bye for now.
Yeah, so do you have a whole phalanx of Dumpty Dum co-host to host this show with going forward, Jacqueline? Because I'm bowing out as of today.
Well, I'm on holiday from tomorrow, so I don't know what's going to happen after that. No, you're supposed to bounce back in and say you're going to stay with us for at least another month or two. I don't have a pile of people behind me. I know there are a pile of people behind me, but it's you that controls them. So I'm desperately hoping.
I beg your pardon.
It's you. It's all about you. I much as I admire you, Royfield, people are in Dumpty Dum world because of you. You and Lucy. That's the only reason I'm here.
Well, I'd like to think you're now here because you want to helm the good ship Dumpty Dum.
Well, I do. I wouldn't want to stop now.
So then I'm dreading that.
No, but I want it with you, or I want it with your approval. I want to carry on. But I'm just hoping that other people will carry on with us.
Madame Berto, you totally have my seal of approval. You can go off and host all you want, Mrs. For now, so it looks like you're stuck with me. But I am on the lookout for new co-hosts. And as Jacqueline said, she's going to be having a Holly Bobs this summer. So there will be opportunity, there will be a window for other people to come on, grab the mic. And I think one of them might even be a young person. We did put out that call, didn't we, a few episodes ago for young people to explain what Instagram is to us and things like that. And a couple of people did hold their hand up. So we need to get them on.
But great. Another first-time caller in, despite the delay, Sue, that you've been listening to Dumpty Dum like me for years and years and years. But great that you called in. Thank you.
Absolutely. Lovely to hear your voice. And please keep contributing. Don't think just because you've gotten once, you need to stop. I'll expect you on next week. Next week, Sue from Sussex. All right. Now we're going back to one of our stalwarts. It's Ambridge Pony Club.
Greetings, Royfield and Jacqueline. Jen here calling in. Actually, out on a long walk on the Curragh of Kildare. You might hear some sheep in the background there. Just wanted to call in and say please don't stop at episode 450. I think we've reached classic dum-de-dum levels now, loving the combination of Royfield and Jacqueline, just perfect sparring partners for each other. Anyway, think it's marvellous. Keep going, please, lads. Really enjoying it. Thought the Archers was very good this week as well. Very nicely observed. That difficult time after, you know, children arrive and you're adjusting from being a daughter into being a mother, and the difficulty that can cause between the mother-daughter relationship, particularly when they're both strong women. Poor old sausage boy caught in the crossfire. That was pretty funny. And yeah, master stroke of passive aggressiveness, tempting poor woman who's knackered and sleep deprived with a decent bed and quiet night at Bridge Farm. Sure, Pat and Tony will finish the job, a couple of days of their company and a bit of Pat's soup, and she'll be back home to Wales in no time. So well done, sausage boy, tactfully handled. Though they're really going to realise what they're missing when she's gone, I think. It's not easy looking after one newborn, never mind two, particularly when she is recovering from a surgery as well. So yeah, good week on the Archers. Great dum-de-dum. So bye for now.
Ta-ra a bit.
Yeah.
No, sorry, not easy at all.
It is not easy at all being a brand new parent, let alone a brand new mother. And then to deal with twins and then have your mom landed on your lap, who is a total blunderbuss, isn't she? She's just...
She is.
Wowzer.
But would you, you know, I've had four children, four mm-hmm. babies, all separately, not at the same time, thank God. But I've never had my mother-in-law, I've never had my mother in the close proximity when they've just arrived. But maybe you'd prefer your mother to your mother-in-law.
But I think Natasha would probably prefer Pat than her own mother.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I'd want Pat. But all that soup, when you really want to eat, eat steak and chips. That's what babies need. Breastfed babies need steak and chips, soup.
But it's a constant controlling advice, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, just
it was.
Oh,
it was.
My gosh.
And Natasha's been built up as a character that's very controlling. So to see, or to hear, sorry, her mother as a completely controlling character was a real surprise.
Well, you say controlling, I say a strong, independent woman is what I would say. But I hear you. I hear you. But also, what you want, of course, you want help, right, to do the mundane stuff. But also, you do need that space, don't you? Like the new parents need that space to properly bond and to understand their children. But also, to readjust their relationship with each other. It's a tricky time.
Yeah,
it's a
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's a very difficult time. And in fact, Tom absented himself, and I'm not going to criticise Tom for that, because whereas I do think he's a complete twonk, but he went off and it gave the opportunity for him to have a bit of a chat with his dad. And Tony, I know you like Tony, so you must have appreciated the fact that his father encouraged him to... with his parenting. But in fact, what Tom really wanted to do was sit on the sofa with Natasha and the babies and burp them and let them cry and rock them and be as tired and as miserable together as most new parents of newborns are.
Yeah, an important time. And they're being denied that by Caitlin, who is just all encompassing. She's a bit much.
A powerhouse, a Welsh powerhouse.
But I tell you who else is a powerhouse, though. Powerhouse of dum-de-dumness is our Claire from Clapham. She's our last caller in error this week.
Hi, dum-de-dum. Claire from Clapham here. I just want to say a word this week for the magnificence of how evil George is. Like... he's really being set up for a lifetime of being like the evil criminal of Umbridge, isn't he? Like within the first week or so of even having a voice, he's threatening his grandma with basically sort of blackmail. I mean, he's just really quite creepy and mental. Now, I don't much like George, I'll be honest. But, you know, I think this is going to spawn years of speculation about like how much he was affected by the complete... bin fire that was his mother's relationships with his father and his uncle. and what it's done for him. Yeah, interesting stuff. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing what other evil schemes George will have. I think I'm really excited about this as a sort of, well, I say comparatively new, like this is my 20th year, but a comparatively new listener to The Archer. Like, I feel like when I'm like, you know, 40 years further in, I should be going, oh, I remember when George was a teenager and he was already evil and he's been an evil person for like, I don't know, 40 years. I'm kind of looking forward to that because I'll be one of those people who heard it there first. And I don't get to do that very often because I'm still comparatively new. So anyway, keep up the good work. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for that, Claire. Before you talk about George, this is a slightly recurring topic in the whole 8 years of Dumpty Dum. But at what yearly mark are you no longer a new listener? So Claire's saying comparatively new 20 years. Right. So at what point do you go, you know, I'm not a new listener anymore and I've completely taken off my water wings when it comes to The Archers?
Well, I think anybody who's been listening regularly for a month or two or three.
Oh, stop it. No. No.
No, but somebody's listening for 20 years. No, they're a solid. They've been following it for all that time. They know generation. They've seen the birth and death of Z and death.
That's not a bad marker. If you've seen births and deaths, if you can, like, 20th generation, you're no longer a new listener. This 20-year mark.
If I make a comparison, Royfield, with living in my village, I've been living in this area for 20-odd years now. Uh-huh. And I am well and truly classified as a solid citizen of this area.
I thought you were going to say...
10 years ago, maybe I wouldn't have been.
Really? So 10 years and he's still a newbie in the village?
More relatively newbie, yeah. Mm. 10 years, you've been able to meet your neighbours, get to know people. You don't know that much history. And then in the following 10 years, you add to, you know, who's the grandmother of and blah, blah, blah. So I think a good 20 year, you're a good solid Zen of Ambridge stroke Sangwen.
Gotcha. Well, I think that is now our official line. So if you haven't been listening to The Archers for 20 years, you're still a newbie. You're still wet beyond the ears. Yeah?
Right. Yeah, why not? Why not? Let's make that a really positive thing about Dum-de-dum. You have to be listening for 20 years to The Archers and 8 years for us. Or do we have a different rule?
No. Completely different rule for us. Because don't think that you've got to be listening for 8 years before you can call in. Oh, gosh, no. No.
Oh, no. Like, definitely not Sue.
Exactly. We want people calling in from the moment they've like ended the first podcast. You know, if not for another reason than to ask questions. Why is it that this person has done that? You know, how is this person related to this person? Da, 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 da. Ring in with your questions. And then we'll push them all to Cosmo.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Because we've been called out on our lack of ability to reply to many questions. So, yeah, we'll ask the people we know.
Now, Claire from Clapham, good friend of mine. I can't remember what she said now. You've got notes. So I'm looking at your extensive notes. When you write your notes, is it in shorthand? Pittman shorthand?
No, it's my shorthand. It's my shorthand. Do you want me to show you? Look.
I'm looking, everybody. Look, you've got beautiful handwriting. But anyway, you tell us your notes that you've got from Claire from Clapham's call.
So Claire started off by talking about the fantastic script writing and the portrayal of Evil George. And I completely agree with her. He's definitely been set up as a lifetime as a baddie. About time. Yeah.
Proper Darth Vader-like. So he can twirl it.
Yes, indeed.
Do you think we always need a baddie? I got a sneaky feeling that we actually do, you know, that it's not just that within a given plot line, there is a protagonist and an antagonist. And one of the genius things about the Alice storyline with Chris is you could see it from both sides. You could completely, in terms of that divorce, you could completely see it from both sides. But when I think of the glory days of Ambridge, it does involve a Matt Crawford, someone who you just go, I don't like this person. Clive Horribin.
But yes, because it reflects real life. I know it's a docudrama, as you say, but in real life, everybody isn't a nice person. You know, you've got people all around you that there are a few that you think,
wait a minute.
Dodgy.
Who's the villain in San Gwen? Go on, out them.
I can't possibly say because I've talked
Pascal,
so much about
Philippe.
And Philippe Pascal. Oh no, there are Pascals and Philippes here. We can't talk about that. Frederic. We don't have a Frederic anymore. No,
right.
In fact,
why? Because he's in prison, is he now? Is he being carted off by the gendarmes?
I'll tell you what, I could tell you so many tales about life in San Gwen.
Listen,
nobody would be interested. One day,
utterly interested. By the way, when are you coming over again?
In September. I arrive on the 31st of August, and I'm here until the 8th of September. I'm there until the 8th of September. So that's
right,
when I'm here.
Good people. If you want to hear about the villains of San Gwen, you need to buy Jacqueline a coffee and a croissant, and she will give you the skinny and all the badness and the dodginess that goes on in Brittany.
Indeed. In fact, I did look on Tractor, and there are a couple of people in Hull, and I think Lillian McCarthy's not very far away in North Lincolnshire, but in fact, I've really only got a day because my sister's now organised my time, so I haven't got much time when I'm there,
name?
Sadly.
Caitlin?
Christine.
Perchance?
Christine. Oh, right. No, she's my baby sister. This visit is a bit of a special visit because not only is it for my nephew's wedding, but also it marks 20-odd years since my family never spoke to me for various reasons. And this is my re-meeting up with them. So it's quite a special emotional visit. So I don't know whether I'll be...
Absolutely,
I think I need to meet dum-de-dummers to have coffee to keep me get me through it.
Now, before we go on, just to start to wind down this show, Brian's back. That was lovely. Him and Chris.
Fantastic,
Having that rapprochement. That was lovely. What else?
But who's going to live in Chris's house? But that confused me a bit. Chris is going to rent his house out, but he's moving out. Is he going to live in that flat with the dangerous steps?
I presume he's going to sort them, But you know what? You've put in a wrinkle in this when all I saw was niceness, which is
all right,
that
Brian
and Chris both could appreciate the position that they both were in before, but that was not productive to Martha's well-being going forward to have that level of hostility. That's what I'm all about. And
that was a very positive thing, yeah.
It was a very positive thing. And then also we had Eddie Bean Eddie running a book on when Chris and Alice were going to get back together, which I actually quite liked. Again, vintage Archers, stuff of nonsense.
Totally.
But utterly lovely.
But Royfield, we haven't mentioned the fact that some special characters that we haven't heard of for ages were mentioned because things got burnt of theirs in the smoking letterbox. Joy sent £30 to her granddaughter, and it was in the postbox when it burned.
Oh, yes.
Ken? Yeah, exactly. We don't hear a lot from Joy. We know we need our Joy back. And Kenton lost his driving license. Oh, I nearly said a rude word then. Only Kenton could do it.
Here's the thing. I don't want to hear any more guff and nonsense about music from the 90s. I really don't, right?
No.
I just like, please, now, come on. In terms of decades for music, and I'm not saying this because I'm an old fart, the 90s hardly stands out. It's not bad, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't stand out. So I don't hear any more stuff about the 90s. Thank you very much, please. And that's all I've got to say about the last week in Ambridge, unless you would like to completely put a period or a full stop by having the last word, and then we can shuffle on.
No, you have the last word, Royfield.
Smashing. Right, so that's our caller in us. We don't have any emailer in us for the reasons that we said before, that there is a problem with our system. So let's just go over how you can get around that. Number one, you can send an email to royfield@gmail.com, royfield@gmail.com, and we will read that out. Or you can send us a message via WhatsApp. So that's +447 957 167 696. But we do have a couple of reviews from Apple iTunes this week. So this week we had two.
We did indeed. And the first one was entitled "A Very Positive Must Listen for Archers Fans" from Richard Lucas, who was on the show last week. A 5-star review.
Oh, 5-star review. He says, "Funny, compassionate and thoughtful. The show is dissected in minute detail with calls and emails from listeners and a great sense of community. If you like the Archers, this can only enhance your enjoyment." Then we had another review on Apple iTunes, which is entitled "Lost Its Spark" from Sassy Lad, 1-star.
"I'm afraid to say, this podcast has lost some of its spark. Plus, if you're big enough to have ads in your in, you are big enough." Oh, it's so badly written, I can't read. I'm going to start it again. "I'm afraid to say this podcast has lost some of its spark. Plus, if you're big enough to have ads in, you're big enough to be able to normalize your levels. Uncomfortable to listen to on headphones." Can I apologise for that straight away?
Well, no, it's not your fault. I think that's aimed at me.
Now, I think it is as well.
Yeah, if it's lost its spark, it's lost its spark. We've kind of mentioned this before. You know, it's just, as one caller in a row once said, it's a bit like Doctor Who, the regeneration of the Doctors. You know,
exactly.
Some people take to a Doctor more than others. So, you know, can't help that. All we can hope, Sassy Lad, is that, you know, we grow on you. That's all we can hope. But when it comes to the levels, FYI, I don't actually insert the ads. That comes from Acast, the platform that we sit on, and they're supposed to normalize the levels. So I think you'll find that on our bit of dum-de-dum, we're pretty consistent. I noise balance the audio, I noise cancel, etc., and I then physically look at the waveform, and it's all pretty much within certain bounds. Acast, when they dynamically insert the ads, are then supposed to make them the same level. And actually, I've never heard anybody say that the two levels are wildly out of cock. So I think they must be doing all round a good job. Obviously not good enough for you. Really sorry. If you have any hints and tips that you would like to give us as maybe how we can help to do that, or maybe some tech specs which we can then pass on to Acast, we'll absolutely do that as well, because we don't want it to be an uncomfortable listen for you on your headphones. But thank you for that. As I said, we'll read out all the reviews we get, positive or negative, and all we can do is but learn from the ones that give us 1, 2, 3 or even 4 stars, because they're people who've got something to say. So that's that. Now,
indeed,
Let's go on to our Facebook group and see what they've been talking about this week. For a roundup of our goings-on, we're going to head over to R Witherspoon.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, Royfield, Jacqueline, and all Dumpty numbers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here with this week's social media roundup. A busy and historic week in Ambridge it was, with the introduction of twin girls Sarah Nova and their Welsh maternal grandmother Caitlin. Before we go there, Sunday brought some sort of rapprochement between Russ and Freddie as they bonded over 90s music, which prompted Sarah Silsbury to question Russ's fandom of the Blue Tones. Sarah described them as a reasonably dull band. Liz Newman agreed, noting that they played at her university ball and were fairly underwhelming. I just hope that no blue toner is a dumpty dumber. On Sunday, we also heard the continued browbeating of Brad by his older sister Chelsea. I asked our collective community what they thought of her rudeness. Harry Clark noted that he and his sister did not exchange a civil word until their late teens, and Sev Defahi thought they were acting like normal teenagers. But Leslie Southgate thought that Chelsea needs to learn some manners, and Leslie Daly said that she's like her mother, a good enough heart, but has not yet learned that mouthing off is not the way to go through life. Elizabeth Llewellyn added that it was very poor judgment on Freddie's part having Chelsea train her brother. Later on in the week, Brad, who we have learned is a very good student, kudos to him, demonstrated his skills at basic math, but both I and Keith Rawlings were not so impressed. Keith said, "When did a simple bit of mental adding become the mark of a genius? This makes me Einstein, as I can subtract and multiply as well." Next, there were lots of comments about Granny Caitlin. Initially, they were positive. Rob Williams noted that Sunday's episode brought back so many memories of freshly cooked Welsh cakes and kutches with his own grandmother. Christopher Simon McKitty wrote that if his mum sung Welsh lullabies to him, he probably would have turned out much better. Natalie Getlorpy, citing Gavin and Stacey, also has a weakness for the Welsh accent and loved the lullabies and the rapport between Natasha and her mom. She expressed hope that the twins grow up bilingual. But by later in the week, Natasha, don't call me Tosh, was growing tired of her mother's controlling and bossy nature, and so were some dumpty-dummers such as Kate Lyle and Jan Mitchell, who found Caitlin's behavior to be upsetting, not endearing. What about Susan and grandson George and the shenanigans they were up to? Paul Newman noted that Susan was rather casual about committing further felonies, but the real venom was aimed at George. Sarah Spilsbury summed it up with, "Ooh, that George is a git, isn't he? The nasty Nick of Ambridge, boo, hiss, etc." Others were of a similar mindset. Melly McMerriweather added her distinctive Scottish viewpoint. "What a wee bleep. I think she meant to say shit or shite or maybe wanker or, as she suggested, sleek it." Had to look that one up. The week ended with Russ surprising Lillian and us with the plan for them to move to Felpersham, where she'll be attending school. Dumpty Dummers were none too pleased. Natasha Cerny said that Russ is a ligger, or as I learned the meaning, freeloader, and added, "I do hope his exit is spectacular." Darcy Jorgensen responded with the question and wish, a la Nigel, I'll let that be the last Facebook comment of the week. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Mr. Spoon, and to everybody who has posted their thoughts on the Dum De Dum Facebook group this week. It is the beating heart of the Dum De Dum community. And as such, in time-honored tradition, we should welcome our new members to Facebook. So this week we had
Jane Bryan,
Bethany Gard,
Lydia Jones,
Steph Wilson,
Amanda Keitley,
and Mary McMerriweather. Now, Melly, how many times have you joined and unjoined?
Yeah, there must be a blip there.
Well, she's a one is our Melly. But anyway, welcome back, chicken. Welcome back.
Yeah, indeed. And don't forget, we are on Twitter at DumTDum. Our team always uses the Archers hashtag using a capital T and A, so the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets. Also, that hashtag is your gateway to the hugely enjoyable tweet along. Also, try and include at DumptyDum in your tweet so more people get to see it, which helps to keep our community growing.
So if we're talking about Twitter, it must be time for Purple Pumpkin and our tweet of the week.
Hello, Royfield, Jacqueline and DumptyDummers everywhere. It's Purple Pumpkin here with a selection of tweets of the week. And thanks as ever to those of you sending at DumptyDum your nominations of notable tweets. please do keep them coming. First, here are some selected highlights from my exchange of the week, which was prompted by the idea that Chelsea was tasked with showing Brad the ropes at the Orangery. The exchange started with Calf Bojo the Klingon Jones at Calfpot on Twitter, who I think used to call into Dumpty Dum under another name. She said, "The image of Chelsea showing Brad the ropes behind the Orangery counter has left me with a confusing image of the Orangery's catering operational arrangements." Miranda at Apple Android app followed up with, "It's sounding like a kinky game of Cluedo." And Stephen Bowden at Wenlock House finished things off with, "Restaurant by day, bondage dungeon by night. Trent gives way to Russ." And there's more of that kind of filth on Twitter if you'd like to follow up. Next, I'd like to give an honourable mention to Ambridge Pony Club at Jen Stephen, Jill Hodge at Hodge Jill, and Madding Crowd at Further From, who all posted variants of the same tweet. Who knew Tony would have the knack of putting babies to sleep as well as the rest of us? Finally, to the medal winners this week, all of which are short and sweet. In bronze position, it's a tweet from Dominic Young at Budgie500, for those of us of a certain age who remember the late, great Joyce Grenfell. George, don't do that. In silver, it's Being Doris at Being Doris, about Derek Fletcher and Jean Harvey. Is clipping her hedge similar to taking her up Lakey Hill? And in gold, it's Ian Kernow at Kernow27. Am I the only one who wishes the twins were called Seren and Dippity? No, Ian, you're not alone. I can't unhear this brilliant idea. That's it for this week. See you all again soon.
Thank you for that, Theo. Thank you for that. That is most awesome. We're not just on Facebook and Twitter. We're also on another social media platform, Instagram. Quite simply, follow us there where we are at DumDeeDum. And a special big ups goes out to our social supremo on Instagram, who's doing some corking work. Some corking work indeed.
Thanks as ever to all our contributors and to our social media supremos, Shambridge Fair Voices, and to our podcasting godmother, Lucy V. Freeman. Also, many thanks to P&Q for their sterling work in the last year.
And don't forget, we are speaking to Charlotte Higgins at 11 a.m. on Thursday UK time this week. If you would like to have the link for that on Zoom so you can ask her a question, I might also stream it live on our YouTube page as well. The link's going to be in the show notes of this episode. It's going to be on our Facebook group. You can DM us for it on Twitter, or you can send me an email, royford@gmail.com, and also send you the link as well. So it'd be really good to have a few of you there. I'm not expecting as many people as a Friday Zoom session, but if there is four or five, that'd be awesome. There you go. That's been your Dumpty Dum. And
well,
I think...
I'm sorry. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to make it, because I go on my holidays tomorrow. I don't know where I am, where I'm going to be. I know a rough geographical area, but because we're...
You don't know where you're going on holiday?
No, I don't.
Sounds like you're going to be a hostage or something.
It does, doesn't it? It sounds quite exciting. I'm going off to... we've hired a camping car.
Ooh.
Two old people are hiring a camping van, not a car. It's not a big thing. It's a kind of like a transit van with beds in it. And we're going to drive. We're driving along the coast. We're going to do a North French coast drive. So we don't know where we're going to be. So which is why I don't know where I'll be next Sunday, and which is why you're having another host next Sunday.
Goodness. Well, there you go. If you fancy hosting Dumpty Dum, you best email me tootsweetquicksharp, because otherwise it'll just be me droning on all by myself next week.
Oh no, we don't want that. Definitely need somebody to volunteer for next Sunday.
Take care, everyone. Tatty bye.
Bye.
Ooh.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.